Welcome back, everybody. We are back again for another lovely recording of our Dancing with the Stars podcast, and we are here for an exciting week of boy bands versus girl groups. And I am joined here, as always, every week by my lovely co-host, Kelly. How are you doing this week, Kelly?
Well, Ange, I'm doing just fine, but I'm really worried about you. How are you dealing? How's your heart feeling after last night?
But other than that, I mean, I'll probably live, but I...
But just barely?
Just barely. It was a travesty. It was just hard. Like, it was hard for me and hard for America.
People in the ballroom, those were quite the boos.
Here's my hard-hitting journalistic take on it. It's total crap.
Ooh, really? I actually predicted this. If you go back and listen a few weeks ago,
I
predicted.
Well, and I mean, I can see how it happened for sure. I just think it's like, of course, like just such shit. Like the night she gets a perfect score, like of course the night she goes home.
Well, and it is extra frustrating because this was such a this was such a I don't think we actually said out loud what this is in case we have any listeners who aren't watching Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, sorry.
Ange's winner pick Heather Morris was eliminated this week after getting a perfect score in her. This dance was so good. It was actually making me a little scared for Normani's win. So I have like mixed feelings about this. Heather showed up this week in a way that I literally yelled at the screen, "There she is. That's who I've been waiting for." And then
the dance was like Max's, like, he should put this in his reel. Like, this was like his best dance that I've seen from him in a long time. Choreography wise, just performance wise. And I was just on the floor, like gagging for this. It was so good. So for everyone out there that isn't familiar with our podcast, so sorry, everyone. we recap Dancing with the Stars. At the beginning of the season, we all picked our favorites and our picks to win. And I had picked Heather. And unfortunately, Heather got voted out this episode after getting one of was this the first perfect score of the season?
It was.
So if she got the first perfect score I think it is, but I wrote that in my notes and I was like, wait, am I wrong? But
and then Aaron confirmed it, but you can't trust anything Aaron says.
You really cannot. And she danced to Waterfalls by TLC, which is just like a joke. Like, that's like
the rap section was amazing.
I was dying. And Bruno was like on the floor, like having a seizure. He was so excited. So yeah, we'll get there. But I'm pretty sad. I mean, I feel like if it had been on another week, if it had been last week, I could have definitely seen it. Like, I could have been understanding, but this was just brutal. This was heart wrenching for me.
But this is the thing about not having it on two nights, right? Like, I think what would make more sense is to have it be last week's votes and this week's scores are what does tonight's elimination. Yeah. Because what happens is that it's almost like whoever's getting eliminated just does one bonus farewell dance while they're still in the dark. But the producers know what's happening because their current dance has no bearing on what happens to them. But in terms of just like from a storytelling point of view, her going home last week when Max wasn't really back yet and it was a terrible dance and it was also just a weird week and she just hadn't come out yet, that would just be the story of Heather Morris then would be all unfulfilled potential. But because she went home this week, the story is this sort of like epic blindside, unbelievable.
Well, and
she had this huge breakout moment.
Yeah.
And it really proved to us that our expectations were not wrong. She's just a slow starter. And it's so much better to have gone out this week when she's now going to be remembered as this like weird Dancing with the Stars martyr, as opposed to someone who just wasn't as good as we thought she was.
And I just got really not upset, but I was a little bummed because, I mean, we were saying, you know, we were sort of going along with the storyline of it all. You know, with her and Alan, and Alan was great. And I think he did bring out an interesting side of her with sort of showing the ballroom-esque aspect of her dancing. And I think that that was good. And I think that it helped her sort of get into the swing of things. But I am sort of curious to see sort of curious, you know, like Monday morning quarterback of it all. Like, if Max had been there, would she still be here because of his fan base? You know, like, I think that him going out really hurt her. I think that his sort of like lackluster attitude about just sort of being in the background was just a little bit of a bummer. So,
well, I think that's exactly it, though. I think it was kind of an attitude thing. And it was not so much him going out or her being it wasn't so much him, her being with Alan instead of Max. I think the problem, and this was really only a problem specifically last week, because in previous weeks it had been Alan was just strictly her partner and he was choreographing and dancing with her. Last week, I think what really went wrong was this weird dichotomy between Alan's doing the dance, Max is choreographing the dance, but because Max wasn't fully back yet, I don't know exactly what his choreographic style is, but I imagine him being able to actually execute the moves is really important for the creation process. And I think that him sort of standing around, not being fully 100% yet, and telling them what to do, I think he purposely didn't give them very much to do. It was he totally half-assed that dance. And I think that if it had been totally Alan doing it, it would have been perfectly fine, or totally Max doing it, it would have been pretty okay as well. The problem was this weird half and half thing where no one quite knew where they were standing. And I think they were just trying to get through last week to get to this week. And that was the problem.
I just think it's a tragedy that all of those boys were safe. And
that was crazy.
It's just like, not only did Heather go home, like that's like it, that is just like, it is what it is. Like, and it's
because there were three men deserve to go out before a single woman this season.
A single hardworking, like busting their balls woman.
Yeah. Because like, even if it had been Simone or Nancy, both of whom are much more understandable than Heather.
Still, but even so, they are working their butts off.
Like, and for them to go out before Bonner, Nick and David is insane.
Anyway.
Okay. So we should start from the beginning. But before we actually get into the episode, can we talk just like a tiny little bit about tangentially related to Dancing with the Stars news? Did you see the headline today about Chris Soules?
Yes. So, yeah. Holy moly. Why don't you go into the details?
Okay. I don't know all the details, but basically what happened is Chris Soules, former Dancing with the Stars contestant, former bachelor, very unlikable person.
He's all right. Former boring.
Really? Yeah, he was fine. He was just whatever. I never liked him.
Boring but, human for souls.
Very vanilla Iowa man. The farmer bachelor who did compete badly on Dancing with the Stars and was Whitney Carson's partner. He today got arrested for being involved in / the perpetrator of assumed perpetrator of a deadly hit and run involving an old man in a tractor.
Yeah, so I don't know how much of this is like TMZ hearsay, but it seems like pretty crazy stuff. So
I don't know. I think the facts of him being arrested for a deadly hit and run are all true. Like whether, you know,
keep on this for you listeners out there, this is juicy.
Right,
stuff.
Right. Because it's still alleged. Obviously, he's not been convicted of anything, but I'm pretty sure those facts at least are true.
That came up and I was like, I was like, that is not what I expected to see.
I just saw Chris Soules arrested and my brain went to like, ooh, what was it for? And I was going through and I gotta say, deadly hit and run was not on that list. Like, no, it's not something I thought of.
Definitely not.
That's crazy.
Anyway, so on a happier note, this week we finally sort of dug deep into what boy bands versus girl groups was all about. And it was
so
as expected. So, yeah, I mean, we were both on the same page that we just expected it to be just a whole bunch of nonsense of like boy groups from the 90s versus girl groups from the 90s. But they sort of branched out.
Yeah, it was through time.
I was appreciative of that. I felt like it was really interesting to sort of see them like go all the way back into like, you know, the 30s upwards and sort of go up through current girl groups and boy groups.
Although,
so
I've got to say, when I hear girl groups versus boy bands, there are two iconic like matchups that I think of. Mm-hmm. I immediately think, okay, so we're going to get Backstreet Boys, which we did. We got plenty of them. Yeah. Nick was on the panel versus the, in my opinion, the definitive girl group of all time was Spice Girls. We didn't hear a single Spice Girl song all night.
They must have not been able to get the rights to that.
Well, except that Mel B used to like was once competed on Dancing with the Stars and even got brought up in this episode.
It must have been a licensing thing.
It
must have just been like a thing because they like, and I mean, like they did one NSYNC song, which is fine, but like I expected more. But
for the most part, no group got more than one song.
Yeah, I guess because Backstreet Boys, because Nick was there, got a little bit more of a. Like,
well, they got the opening number and then Bonner, but that was it.
Yeah, so the opening number was super fun. I would say that I was just very into it. And I feel like just sort of a overarching theme throughout this was that Nick took his job. This is Nick Carter. Took his job seriously.
Very seriously.
And I appreciated that. I felt like he did a good job. I felt like he was like, you know what? I am not an expert dancer and I'm going to judge this on what I know about dancing from when I was on the show and what I feel about these dances. So there you go.
I will say though that he occasionally his commentary didn't. First of all, I love Nick Carter, and I wrote a whole very long review about the Backstreet Boy documentary that you should all read because it psychoanalyzes Nick Carter very intensely. Fascinating person. However, he did this thing where he would describe his reaction to the dance. And they would be all over the place. Sometimes he would be very critical and sometimes he would be overwhelmingly positive. And then everybody got an 8 with the exception of obviously the two obvious 10 people, the Heather and Normani. Basically everybody got an 8, which was very confusing to me because like he clearly loved Nancy. But then he said 8 after 3 8s in a row. It was very strange.
He was clearly trying to play it safe. I think he was a little unsure about what he was supposed to do there. I mean,
I think he was thrown by being the low grade in the first one.
Yes, exactly. I was just going to say the first dance. So we'll jump right into it. But I mean, we go right into Simone Biles and Sasha, who are dancing to Survivor by Destiny's Child. But
I love that song. Love it.
Yeah, I am obsessed with this song. I was obsessed with their costumes, and the set was just, they nailed that set. I was obsessed with the whole theme. I felt like they really were just, the production quality of this thing was awesome. And then I was out. I did not like this. And I don't know if that's
crazy
a hot
bouncy.
Take.
No, it's a hot take based on the show's reaction, but I totally agree with you.
Okay, because I felt like really taken aback when the judges gave her such high scores. I felt like real confused because she seemed all over the place. Her face looked really confused. She had that weird smile on the whole time.
Yep.
I don't know. This dance for me, at the end when they announced it could be a girl, I was like, ooh, Simone. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually assumed Simone. But then she was great last week, but I don't know. I thought this was
creepy AF.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
Her smile was insane. And it was this whole thing was incredibly awkward. It felt rushed. It was really bouncy, which drove me absolutely crazy. And like, okay, I am so out on Sasha in this partnership. I loved Sasha after last year with Tara, but this year he can't figure out Simone to save his life.
And like, he's trying so hard. You can see it in his face that he is like, rehearsals, I mean, I just like, I look at like him in the rehearsals and like, he just looks really frustrated.
Well, I agree. I think he looks really frustrated, but I don't think he's actually trying really hard. Like, I think he's pushing. Well, it depends on your definition of trying, right? Like, I think that he's basically trying the same thing over and over again with this idea that, like, if I just work harder in the same direction, it's going to eventually break through. But that's clearly not what's going to happen. He has to come up with another way to communicate with her. So, like, this samba, was it samba or salsa? It was.
This was a samba.
Right. So, like, either one, but a salsa or a samba. Yes, it's supposed to be sexy, but we've run into this wall with Simone and she's really uncomfortable. And my favorite line ever was sexy is stretching it in reference to Sasha and his troll doll hair and like, just whatever, Sasha. Yeah, and then and you watched like the way Rashad dealt with the whole Rashad is sexy thing, and he was just like so warm and like sweet and understanding.
I just can't connect to her. I just can't connect to her.
Yeah, well, Simone, you mean?
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. I just didn't connect to it at all.
But I just think that if you have someone who's really uncomfortable with the sex stuff, you can't just force it on her and be like, grab my butt, Simone. Mm-hmm. You have to take, okay, so we're doing Destiny's Child Survivor, amazing song. Make your samba about, like, being empowerment. Strong. Yeah, make yeah. it, it doesn't have to and be about the thing you think it's about. It doesn't. It just drives me crazy.
And at the end of the dance, like, the dance moves where she was dancing by herself towards the end of the dance, I thought maybe it was going that way, and then it was too late by that point. But the judges seemed to buy it, so...
Ugh, crazy.
I don't know.
They're crazy. I don't know. But moving on to someone who like not. I thought was good this week, but
yeah,
still,
he actually did all right.
I mean, whatever.
So this is actually one of the weeks that I felt like Bonner and Sharna probably connected the most, like as chemistry on the dance floor. I feel like they in the past, I mean, they've had obviously pretend chemistry or whatever chemistry they had off the dance floor, but I felt like they did a good job of whatever fake chemistry they had on the dance floor. They were doing a good acting job. The judges did not agree with that. So they did a rumba to I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys, which is solid gold. Mm-hmm. That's a great combo. But I do feel like the rumba is bound to be hard for him because it needs to be constant movement and it's not a hold position dance. So he did have trouble, you know, and he himself says he's the worst dancer in the competition. So he knows, which sucks. Like, I mean, that's like a tough position to be in. But what did you think? I mean, I felt like it was fine. I did not think it was as bad as they said it was. I didn't think it Sharna I didn't think the choreography was as bad as they played it out to be. I don't know. I thought that Simone almost I felt like Simone's made me more uncomfortable than this one did.
Mm-hmm. I think this was, I mean, understanding that Simone is obviously a better dancer than Bonner, actually gave these both
better
the same
for sure.
score. Because I think this was excellent for Bonner. And hers was terrible for Simone. And I mean, I might have been giving him sort of unconscious bonus points for the song because Backstreet Boys are the true loves of my life.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course.
Yeah, obviously. And I was particularly taken with the like Nick Sharna relationship coming out a little
bit. Yeah, of course. And he was very proud of her. And
that was so cute. But I thought Bonner did a great job. I mean, Bonner's still terrible and should go home next / should have gone home this week or last week even. But for him, I actually thought it was his best dance. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I felt like it was definitely not it was not justifying the scores he got, but it wasn't justifying anything higher than, you know, what he was given even, you know, I mean, if that makes sense.
Do you think this week had any sort of in terms of the voting, do you think it will have an impact? Because it certainly did, I think, last week, how popular the group they're dancing to is. Like, do you think that Simone's going to get a Beyonce bump and Bonner's going to do okay because everyone loves the Backstreet Boys? But say, for example, Nancy is dancing to someone I've never heard of before.
I don't necessarily think that this week because these are more one-off situations, whereas like Disney is a little bit more of a like a cultish type situation. Whereas, you know,
I'm cultish about the Backstreet Boys.
I know, as am I, but I think that that's the whole theme of the episode, you know, whereas like if you are obsessed with Frozen, you're going to vote for, you know, whereas like if you are obsessed with Backstreet Boys, it's hard to like pinpoint which person, you know, it's all the Backstreet Boys. It's all, you know.
Well, no, it's Brian, but okay. I see what you mean. I take your point.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Anyway, another interesting dance of the evening. We go right into Nancy Kerrigan and Artem, who are doing a Paso Doble to Free Your Mind by En Vogue, which was okay. So this, you're infuriated me. So I thought Nancy did a great job last week. I felt like she really killed it. She came out of her shell a little bit. I felt like she was just a professional in all sense of the word. How dare they? How dare they ask somebody to do a Paso Doble to free your mind. Again, when Mel B and Max did this in season 5,
was it a passout?
Yes, to perfection. To perfection. Like, how dare they do that to her? And like, how? And she even says it. She's like, I've seen the show. Mel B did this. It's been done. Like, come on. And like, I'm sorry. This was not good. This was not a good dance. And I just felt like she got too in her head about this for sure. But I just felt bad. I felt like she didn't have the confidence going into this. So it just like,
Yeah, I didn't watch the show back then, so I didn't realize that was a paso that she was referring to. That's crazy. They definitely shouldn't have done that.
They dress them the same. You need to look it up. It's like infuriating. If you look at their hair, like it's almost the same.
Oh,
hair.
No, that's horrific.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
I will say,
there's so many boy band, girl band songs they could have chosen. Like, why this song?
Nobody knows who what is an In Vogue. Like, I don't. Come on,
that's
man.
Not a popular band. No,
yeah, it's like, their one hit wonder,
song.
Right?
Yeah.
So
they're not like the Beach Boys. Like,
but like, yeah, I have no idea. I had a couple notes about this one, but they weren't really about the dance because you're right. It was pretty whatever. I hated the cage. The cage was such a giant waste of time. And like, I also just don't like watching something while it's happening, I'm like, well, Len's going to talk in the entire time about this. Like,
yeah,
just set yourselves up for success a little tiny bit, like a calculated strategy thing where you put in a little hip hop, whatever. But like the whole thrashing around the cage for no reason. No, thank you.
And that just then, like, they should have tried it in rehearsal and seen that she was bad at it and scrapped it.
That's true, too. Right.
She was not good at it.
And that's something Derek does that I feel like a lot of the other pros don't do enough of, which is this idea of, even if I have an idea that I think is really cool, if like the troupe does it, I only put it in the dance if my particular person looks good doing it. So right. It's not a matter of like they'll work really hard and eventually they'll learn it. Like specifically, I remember Bindi. There was something about like the shape of her arms or something. And certain moves didn't look as good on her as other moves did. And it wasn't a matter of like teaching it to her correctly. He just strategized and he took it out if it didn't look great on her. And that's something that like I think a lot of the people, like someone like an Artem, is less likely to do, is more likely to like choreograph a passo and then teach his person the passo. And then that's that. Which isn't super great strategy. So I have a couple sort of like more, they're not really about the dance, but a couple little notes around this segment. First of all, Tom keeps doing this thing where if somebody talks to themselves or their partner, because they're not mic'd when they're doing the dance, and they say something under their breath on their way over when they know they're not mic'd, Tom has done it multiple times now. We're here. He makes them say out loud what they said. And I'm just like, no. They specifically said that off mic. Like, stop. Stop he's calling like, them on.
Out of jokes. So he's like watching them like a stalker almost. Like leave them alone. Like they're not.
Yeah, well, and it's and the thing they said off mic is probably not flattering. It's probably not even that illuminating. So just like leave
just mad about a step they dropped or something.
Exactly, and it's better for them and for everyone if like if the judges don't point that thing out, the audience won't necessarily know unless Tom forces them to talk about it. So just leave them alone again. Set them up for success, which Dancing with the Stars usually does. It usually, like, it's all positive edits, all that kind of thing. But that one thing he does really bothers me. The other thing, and I might have misinterpreted this, but it really did not sit well with me. Was, you know, they do that like weird thing where they show you what happened last week, and it almost feels like behind the scenes, like people talking off camera or whatever.
Yeah. And they're like they caption it where it like seems like very like behind the scenes about it, but it's like not really, like they know they're being like they know the camera's on them.
So this one, Val saying that about Nancy, wow, she really turned it on this week. And I was just like, I mean, he may have meant it in like a she's really coming to play, good for her, but it felt like he was making fun of her for trying hard and being like really in character, and it felt like such a cool kid weird thing to say, and I didn't like it because I love him.
He's he definitely could come across as like the cool kid, like kind of like a bully. And if you like listen to what he says, like sometimes, like because of the way he phrases them and like his tone of voice, like it could come across that way for sure. So they can definitely take what they want from his audio and edit it how they will.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If he pissed off the producers, Val would be in a lot of trouble. But as it currently is, the show loves him so much that what we're given on him is just this like beautiful ray of perfection. But that was, I was just like, oh, Val, stop being mean for no reason. Although, again, I might be misinterpreting. It did feel
I'm sure it is a misinterpretation. I doubt he was being mean. He was probably just like making a, like a quirk or like a gimmick. Like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I don't know. I thought it was interesting, especially with all of Nancy's insecurities and things. It was a very interesting moment.
Gosh, which again, like I had warmed up to her, but this week again just sort of brought me back down. Like, I just need her to like, just like man up a little bit. Like she's good. She's really good.
That's very true. Although in the group routine, I thought that was very interesting that like Simone was sort of freaking out and everyone was a little bit like the girl team was very serious and like no one seemed to be having any fun. And Nancy just like went in and she did it and she did what she was told, even though like I was kind of expecting a storyline about how Nancy is the only one of those three people who's not like super young, hot, sexpot sort of looking person. Like she's very beautiful, but she's older than them and she's clearly the mom of the group. So when she's doing like the giggly schoolgirl thing,
the 21-year-old was the out of place person.
Exactly. It was so it was very interesting. I thought that Nancy really just like went in, she did the work, she didn't make a big deal about it, she didn't make the room about herself, and she just handled all the sex stuff perfectly fine. And I gotta say that group number had a lot of sex stuff, but we'll get to that later.
So moving on to our next dance, we have probably the worst dance of the night.
What? No, I liked it. Yay, Nick.
Did you? Oh, no. Okay, well, a worst dance of the night by the judges' standard, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's true, I guess.
That's just what I was basing this off of, judges' scores. But this was an interesting pick by the producers. So they chose to give Nick a jive to Fun, Fun, Fun by the Beach Boys, which I was surprised at. That's kind of a weird boy band. I didn't really consider them a boy band, but I guess they
for
are.
Sure are. The definition is just a band that's all boys that sings or snaps or something instead of playing instruments. So like the 100%. Beatles are not a boy band, but the Beach Boys are.
I'm not arguing with you.
I'm just clarifying for the audience. I'm not.
I was like, why is she yelling at me?
Oh no, I just talk really loudly. Don't worry. I'm never yelling at you.
And then Nick comes out and he's all excited about the jive until he realizes that the jive effing sucks and it's hard to do.
It's hard, but it's delightful.
So hard. But I thought this was cute. I mean, it was very difficult. She gave him a lot of content. No, I felt like she gave him a lot to do. She didn't shy away from the content, which was, I felt like that's maybe what the judges were a little hesitant about scoring him because he had a little lack of control. But what did you think? I mean, you thought it was fun, right?
Well, I do think that PETA is not really setting Nick up for tons of success in that she's just not giving him strategic routines. She's giving him really hard stuff. That said, I do think this was interesting because I think it was a bit of a continuation of the thing we talked about last week with this idea of the producers giving Nick sort of more non-sexualized work to do in terms of setting him up for the audience votes, which I thought was very interesting because then, again, to talk about the group number ahead of time, he's never looked more comfortable than he looked in the stripping section of the group routine. Like, that is his wheelhouse. So it's sort of interesting that they keep doing these sort of like the Beach Boys are very clean cut, nice boy kind of thing. And then the jive, obviously not a very sexual routine. So I thought that was an interesting thing to give him. Yeah. I love the jive. It makes me happy, even a bad one. Yeah. So like I liked it. I thought he did a really good job in that. Like, it's really hard to literally just get all of those moves in a row. It's really because it's hard.
That's what I mean. She gave him a lot.
Yeah, and it's
a lot of content.
It's a really fast dance, and I think the problem with Nick is that first of all, he always looks like he's counting in his head. So even the jive, he didn't look like he was having fun. The only time it looks like he's having fun is sometimes in rehearsals and when he was doing the stripping routine. And that was like it. Because he's just so in his head and so worried all the time. And it just looks like he's having no fun. And I think if he just fixed his face, a lot of the judges' problems would go away. But he's also, the issue with Nick is that even his very best routine, even something he executes, you know, he gets all of the literal steps correct, which, you know, his paso was great, or was it a tango? Mm-hmm. No, his tango was great. I thought he did a really good job. The problem is just that he's literally not a good dancer. Like he's really flat footed.
I disagree. Okay.
Really?
So as a dancer, I disagree.
Ooh, trump card.
I think that he has more natural rhythm than we give him credit for, but I think that for whatever reason, PETA is not able to bring that out of him. You know, for whatever reason, the partnership isn't, it's like a good partnership. They have good chemistry. They work together well, but for whatever reason, it's not coming out. So he just,
maybe I have to go back and watch that, his date with Rachel in New Orleans, and see how he was grooving on that when they were dancing with the parade.
And watch the Backstreet Boys one as well. Cause I felt like he did pretty well.
Because it feels to me like a math person trying to do art. Like he's just, you know, he's placing his foot, and it's not really a rhythm problem. I feel like when we have this conversation, you always point to the fact that he has decent rhythm, and I don't actually think he has necessarily bad rhythm. I think it's more of, and we talk about this with Bonner more than Nick, but I think it's a similar problem where the space in between the moves, there's nothing continuous happening. He's not graceful, I think, is really the problem.
When I say rhythm, I'm not talking about the definition of it. I'm saying like rhythm, like
groove.
Like the colloquialism version of rhythm. Not like the Webster's definition of rhythm.
Because I do think that like in terms of like timing and things, which can be a real problem for other people, I think he's fine on that. He doesn't seem to be able to connect the moves. He doesn't seem very graceful, and he's very flat footed. Like he puts his foot down where the step is supposed to go, as opposed to like he has no bounce. Like he wasn't, you know, I'm snapping my fingers for some reason to illustrate what I mean. You know what I mean?
I also think that he is a little more, like, I know he's been on TV for a few years now, but I do think that he is a little more nervous when it comes to these performances than, you know, some of the other stars on the show. I think that he gets in his head quite a bit.
It was very interesting when he was like, Rashad was on my fantasy team.
Until 3 years ago, like he was in Sophomore Sale, you know? So like, I mean, you have to just, I always try to think about that he definitely, this is pretty jarring at points, I imagine. So I think that when he gets out on the dance floor, even if he does it perfectly in rehearsal and he looks great and he does it fine, he gets out on the dance floor and he like can definitely come across very like bumbly. So
that's very true.
I don't expect him to be on the show much longer, but we'll see. Like, great that he's still here. You know
what place did Sean get? How far does he have to go to beat Sean?
I don't remember, but we'll definitely have that for next time. I forget.
Because I think that it doesn't matter. Like, he knows he's not going to win. He knows he's probably not going to be in the finals. But as long as he beats Sean, I think he's okay.
I want to say ninth. And
he's got to be close. He's close. Yeah. But it is such an advantage to be comfortable performing in front of a crowd. And certainly of like all of these people, almost all of whom, except for maybe Nick, are used to performing in some way in front of a crowd. That specific,
like performers.
They're mostly performing, even if they're like athletes, they're still performing in front of a crowd. The difference though is that like someone like Normani is used to performing in this particular way in front of the crowd. She's used to playing to the camera. She's used to playing also at the same time to the back row of the auditorium. And the difference there is so palpable when you look at Normani. She's just so comfortable on that dance floor. It's amazing.
Speaking of, nice segue. So we go right into Normani. She So our star from last week, our gem,
our star from every week. I don't know how we were sleeping on her.
But last week in particular, our Disney week princess, she was just so good last week.
Down to business.
Oh my God, so good. And this, she doesn't let us down at all. She was doing a salsa to When I Grew Up by the Pussycat Dolls, which I died. It was just so good. I definitely felt
so
like her
thematically interesting because she was like, it's not what it's cracked up to be, because her, like, this song is describing wanting Normani's life. And she's like, it's hard. It was fascinating. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. And I like how she says that when she was younger, she wanted to be a pussycat doll. And I was like, oh, all right. That's a hot take.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
But yeah, Carrie Ann, Bruno, Nick, they all go crazy, you know, because it's a really good, well done number. But for some reason, Len is a little bit stuck on the fact that Val didn't put a ton of salsa content in there. And then him and Val get into this little arguing match because Val is talking about traditional salsa steps. And he says they do a lot of single salsa moves. So they're not doing partner salsa moves, but they're doing, you know, like, traditional salsa moves out of hold. So it was a whole like little arguing match, and I thought it was totally a pointless waste of time, but for some reason
I loved it.
Yeah, I just was annoyed by it because I was like, come on, Len, that was the best dance.
Oh no, I was annoyed with Len for sure, but I was really like when people are using the same criticism over and over again, when somebody who disagrees with them comes out and says, can you just define your terms for a second, because I'm not sure that word means what you think it means, basically. Like he was saying,
because he was like, nope.
Yeah, like the Shmurkowskis are like Latin traditionalists. They know exactly what salsa content is. And so when they do something like the hip hop section or whatever, especially Val is very likely to technically do it, construct it in a way that it is technically meeting all of the requirements. So him challenging Len on whether he means salsa content in terms of like hold strict salsa, or salsa syllabus, which I thought was fascinating. I've never heard that phrase before, but clearly that's like from ballroom competition standards. In order to meet a certain amount of criteria, you use the syllabus. And that it blew my mind. I was like, yes, you're taking him down with like technical jargon in a way that totally makes sense to him. And you could tell at the end of that interaction, he totally won Len over, and he had Len saying, right, it's like, totally whatever. Subjective. What I always frame as an objective comment is actually just a taste issue. And I think that if that conversation had happened before Len submitted his score, it would have been at least a 9.
Yeah, I agree with that. Which is
from then on, I think Len's going to be more considerate of the idea of actual syllabus moves as opposed to just general content. I thought it was very,
which I think might only be with Val though.
Yes, it might only relate to Val, especially because Max is gone, who's the other person who that might have. And actually, I could see that affecting Artem. Artem's the other one who I think is a technician. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Only people that like matter.
Well, the really strict, the like Latin specialist guys. Yes. I think that's very interesting. Although obviously Normani, I wrote down such a freaking star, better than everybody else by a mile, like just fabulous.
Yeah. And I liked the theme. It was like a weird construction worker. Like she like wins over a bunch.
Which was
like,
so funny like, to watch when they were just standing there. I was trying to figure out what he was dressed as. I was like, why are you wearing that?
And
vest?
I also didn't really get the theme. Like they were like walking around and like winning over other construction workers. But I was like, all right, I'm down. I'm into it.
It was basically this is totally messed up, actually, now that I think about it. But it seemed to be like she's walking down the street and she's a total star, but she's a totally regular person who only her like best audience is construction workers who are going to catcall her in that really like actually kind of abusive way. That is actually a really big problem, feminism. But In the frame of this story, the idea was that like they're the best thing an average girl has in terms of relating to this phenomenon of the pussycat dolls and their fame, which is backwards and weird, but I liked it. And it's fine.
And we might also be misconstruing that. So hopefully
that's actually
we understood the theme.
That's also very true.
But another interesting sort of, I guess you can say like, a character that we kind of got. So we go into David Ross and Lindsay Arnold, who are doing the Argentine tango from I Want You Back by NSYNC. Finally, we get, apparently Nick Carter has been burning to ask David this question, but he asks him NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. And thank the Lord, but David says Backstreet.
I also love that he asked the one guy who definitely couldn't care less. He was like, I've never heard of either of you. I don't know. I've met you. So Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, but this was another interesting dance where like it was like character driven, but I did not feel the character.
I actually think that was kind of him trying to cover up. I think that Carrie Ann was onto something when she was like, are you OK? You're not. You seem off, like. What's wrong? And right. I thought that was very insightful of her. And I think that David just covered it up with by saying, I look upset when I'm serious. And this was my serious character. I think he agreed.
I still think that Lindsay probably wanted it to be a character driven dance. And like I just don't think that this type of dance is like his jam at all. Like I just he was a grumpy pants McGrumperstein this week, like not into it.
I miss his happy dances. So I watched this show with my mother, which is a very funny experience because she's a little bit fickle in that she has this idea of who she likes and she doesn't stand by anybody. Like she doesn't have this ability to be like, oh, this person I love is just having a weird week. So it was very funny because before David came up, she was like, I love David Ross because they showed a little funny clip of him. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing we see is this video package. And she turns to me after and she says, well, that wasn't very likable. And I was like, OK, I mean, you're right. But you've totally reversed your opinion now based on this. Like, well, that wasn't very likable. I'm like, oh, well, agreed. It was a very, very tense package. Very kind of.
Yeah, and you could just tell that, like, I think he expected to go home. Like, I think he expected to be done by now, and he just isn't done. So it's like,
that's maybe true. Maybe he just wants to go home with his kids.
Like, yeah, like, I think he accepted this knowing, like, this whole thing, thinking it would be, like, a fun 2-week experience. And now it's become, like, this whole, like, ordeal, and he's done. And he had to even travel the other week because he had to do that whole, he had to get, what was it? I don't know, sports, like his ring or something.
His ring. Yeah. His World Series ring.
His ring. Sports are fun. but yeah, so I felt like he had like, you know, an expectation that this probably wouldn't be as long of a process as it has become. So I'm wondering if that's sort of where we're at right now, where he just feels like, ugh, like I'm just so over it, you know?
It could be. I think he's also feeling really uncomfortable about the fact that, like, most dances, the dynamic between the partners is supposed to be a romantic dynamic. And for the most part, if you're doing, like, goofy jives and stuff, you can play it off a different way if you want. But they're starting to reach the point where that's not really optional anymore. And I think it's making him very uncomfortable, which is very interesting.
That seems fair, because I do feel like he's definitely one of those people that wants to be, you know, like, not necessarily, like, true to his, you know, like, betrothed, you know, but
but definitely true to his betrothed, right? Like,
yeah, but, like, he knows that it's, like, a TV show as well. Like, he doesn't want to.
But he's not an actor, too, right? So it makes a difference.
Exactly. So he's just like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah, and also even it's and with the age thing too, like we've seen people before who are married or whatever, and they've struggled with this particular thing. But I think that the age thing makes it worse, because especially him being the man as opposed to, say, like Nancy and Artem, I think he's gotten in his head a little bit about the sort of creepy factor, and he's just very conscious of that and trying to avoid that at all costs.
Lindsay is she's young, you know, she's
way younger. She's, I think, the youngest. So I think that's it's very interesting. Lindsay also, to sort of get off that topic a little bit, Lindsay is known for being extremely brave, and she is like, it's amazing some of the lifts that she'll like throw herself around. And she's coming off a season where she had Megatron, who was sort of like the Rashad of last year, where no one really expected him to be great. And then he was great. But specifically, the thing about having one of the football guys is you can really do the lifts because they're incredibly strong. And I think that she's sort of carrying that idea of like, oh, I have an athlete over into and then and asking David to do things that like he really is not equipped to do. So like those lifts were totally overambitious, and like kudos for her for not only being brave enough to, because she's the one in peril if they're overambitious, but also for just selling it so hard on the dance floor of like, I wasn't scared at all. Yes, you were, but I wasn't. Yeah. And that, you know, good on her. But it is, you know, she needs to maybe scale that back because I think that's just dangerous at this point. And also at one point, Len called David Nick and it made me laugh a lot.
Oh, Len, he's speaking of another athlete, moving right along to our other star of the season, Rashad Jennings. So him and Emma did a tango this week to reach out and I'll be there by the Four Tops, which was a pretty cool pick, in my opinion. So they didn't quite do so well last week as they thought they would. But I think that they pulled themselves out in a pretty sweet way this week. What did you think of this dance?
I loved it. I mean, I love Rashad. I also think this was personality wise.
Motown?
Well, so first of all, Carrie Ann is so right. That four person opening was one fantastic. And two, I anytime I see a big group thing, I always try to think about, okay, who are my eyes drawn to? Who am I watching exclusively in this? And I was watching Rashad, not the pro dancers. And I think that really is a testament to something. Although I will say
he was wearing a sparkly jacket.
Well, they were all wearing sparkly jackets, though, right? Or were they not? No. Is that my imagination? No,
he had like a hot pink sparkly jacket on and they all were wearing like a matte colored.
Oh, but never mind then. But I don't think it was the sparkles. I think it was because he was special.
No, he was definitely like he had more energy for sure.
Yeah. But he's so smooth. So like to compare him to what I was trying to say about Nick, we saw Rashad this week doing that drill that football players do with the where they bring their knees up and they run sort of on the balls of their feet. And I think because we see oftentimes that football players are actually pretty good at Dancing with the Stars. And I think something like that drill is really key. It's this idea of like getting up on your toes and moving really quickly and having that sort of agility. Sure. And I think that makes a real difference.
When I used to take back in my heyday when I was a dancer, my dance instructor, she used to teach our high school football team dance classes once a week. She used to go there and teach them dance because we would like do a lot of things on releve, which is when you go up on your toes. And they were required to take class with her every week. So I think that's definitely that's spot on, that's definitely something that helps you, you know, stay on your toes and keep that agility. And I think that adds to his like technique. And I think just his like cool demeanor is probably what makes his style so excellent. And he, I think one of the judges points it out, but his attack and his just ability to just sort of like hit the moves with such like force and such like passion is probably what helps him along quite a bit as well. Yeah, I loved this dance. This was great.
And he had a really great personality week too, where he, I mean, the whole Simone thing was I thought adorable, and he handled it perfectly. Yeah. Although I gotta say, how many times do you think Simone begged Erin to drop it, and she brought it up three
Erin
times?
Just kept bringing it up, and I was like, Erin, like no. Also, like nobody cares because like Simone's like 20, and Rashad's like. Not 20.
And also, and it's not like a specific. It's not like she has, like, you know, if you think David Ross is really sexy, that's like an interesting thing about you, right? That's telling me something about you that you have interesting specific
Everyone
taste.
Thinks Rashad is a sexy guy.
Rashad is objectively sexy. Like, I'm interested in asking Emma over and over again what she sees in Sasha, because this I don't understand. But asking anybody why they think Val is sexy is insane. Like, that's just such a waste of time. Yeah. So this thing was like Erin just being dumb.
Oh, but God.
For Rashad, I actually thought it made him seem so sweet. And I thought he had a great personality week, almost helped along because of this weird Simone thing that kept happening.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so we go into our last dance of the night, which we sort of touched upon quite a bit at the beginning of the podcast. But Heather and Max, you know, unfortunately, this dance was the most amazing thing I've ever seen on television. They got all 10s and then she gets kicked off the show.
Yeah, I will say that before this, they had whatever. An interstitial where they were like, Alan was trying to get to Heather and Max was blocking him.
That was really cute, adorable.
And I actually pointed out
that the theme. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, Max said in their rehearsals that the theme of this dance was going to be like him winning her back from Alan. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a brilliant idea. And he didn't actually really do it. There was just like a little moment at the top where he just like took her from Max.
At the end. So he took her from Alan. And then at the end, she decides she's going to pick Max over Alan and she throws water in his face.
Right.
So I'm glad it wasn't like the whole dance, though.
I don't know. I had a moment of being like, it would be cool if we got Alan a little bit more involved and like really leaned into the weird story of this team this season.
I don't think that said, it would have gone as well, though. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, right? Like in terms of narrative, I'm like that I think would have been a more that's what I would have done. That's like a really cool narrative. But this dance was so good that you don't want to change anything. In case something goes wrong and something changes. So it was amazing. It was perfect. I do enjoy in the rehearsals, Max kept talking about quote unquote adult stuff and how this was adult stuff.
I thought
that was the funniest thing ever.
It was very funny. I do enjoy him like on the show and I have missed him because he is the way he speaks is just like, it's not all there when it comes to just like his grasp on just sort of what reality television is like. He always just like makes up like phrases and like it's always just really funny. So I think that was fun to have him back for a week. I'm sad that we're not going to get more of him this season though. But honestly, this was the best dance I've ever seen and I am devastated. So
I will say though, because we've had this conversation a little bit and we even had it tonight, this idea of a character dance versus a dance. Mm-hmm. And I think this was the perfect example to put that debate to bed, this idea that you can have a character dance or a dance. This was the sort of thing where the character, because it really was a character, this had nothing to do with any part of Heather Morris's persona, right? Like what we think of with her or with Brittany, which is sort of tied into her, are nothing like this character in this dance. And this was such a character driven dance, but it was really choreography heavy. And the character was built into the actual choreography and it was in there and it was actually expressed through the choreography. It was the perfect marriage of those two things. And that's what I've been really looking for in the ones where they talk about character a lot, because I really think that the best dances and the best choreography use dance to express story and character, as opposed to stopping and miming and then doing some dance moves and then stopping and miming.
And they have to have the chemistry and the partner work that's sort of there as well. And I think they found it and they felt it and it worked really well.
This was the perfect marriage of those two concepts. Yeah. And it really proved that it could be done and put last week into starker contrast, I thought.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was really happy to see them do so well this week. Anyway, so this comes the time of our season where the celebs have to learn more than just one dance per episode because we're losing people. And so they have to fill 2 hours. So we have split the boys and the girls into two different groups. And that would be the boy celebrities and the girl celebrities. And they have been given the task of being a boy group and a girl group.
Love it.
And they are going to have a battle of the sexes and they're going to do a team dance. So we start the team dance round out by getting a little package on the team boy band. But before we do that, we are told that we are going to find out which of the two groups are in jeopardy and which of the two groups are safe for the night. Now, I thought that I knew exactly what was going to happen. And this was so devastating, but clearly we know Heather goes home. So we were told the boy band group was safe and everyone shit their pants. Sorry, pardon my French, but it happened.
Yeah, it was crazy because it's not just that the person we thought should go home was in on one team and that team was declared safe. The three people we thought should go home.
Yeah.
were declared safe. Like, it was so weird. Like, that there is exactly one good dancer, and dividing them by gender really drove this home in a way that I hadn't really stopped and thought about since early in the season when we looked at the two different fields and thought the women were stronger.
Agreed.
Like, Rashad is the only, and has been all season, the only male dancer, even like a tiny little bit worth like considering as a potential finalist. Like, he's the only good male dancer at all.
And he really brings it for this dance for them. I think that, you know, they, to be fair, so they have very, very, very good girl partners, these
very
four guys.
Yes.
So they start their little package by just like silly nonsense. So the four boys are just like goofing off and like just
this
being
was
like
so
little,
endearing. So cute.
So endearing. I was into it. It was cute. It was very cute. And I felt like they did a really good job of just like really enjoying themselves and really embracing the boy band theme. So they end up doing a Jackson 5 portion, and then they end up doing a New Kids on the Block portion, which I felt like the whole thing was just really well choreographed, and it sort of emphasized that that they all sort of can do, you know, like really silly chair dancing, as well as, you know, they all did their own like strengths with their partners. So it was really well done. And it was like Bruno said, he was crying. And I sort of felt the same way. Like, I wasn't, because I wasn't there. And I felt like you needed to be there to like get that sort of like entertaining, like, this is nonsense. But it was
sort of like fun embarrassment thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was just so silly. And I just felt like they did it well, but it was also insanely ridiculous, you know?
Yes, it was totally ridiculous. I thought it was very interesting that Emma and Rashad had that sort of spotlight moment that none, when they did that, I expected, oh, all of the four couples
all
are going to
do
this
little
thing. But it was just Rashad and Emma. And I was like, okay, so really leaning into the self-aware strategy here, team boy band, because like they all know Rashad's the only one who can dance. So let's give a little bit of extra Rashad to the routine just to set us
and
up.
I was
for
fine with that. Was, and I think they were also like, this gives us an opportunity for the rest of us to put our shirts back on, but then they didn't. And I was like, all right.
It's also just like a break to catch your breath or whatever, right?
Correct. Yeah.
No, maybe I thought it was delightful. I did think it was very notable how comfortable Nick looked on the stripping section, which.
Yeah. And even Bonner, like, he definitely like went into it. Like, he was, he just took it. He took it and he ran with it. But I felt like the judges were all on the same page that it was well done entertainment. And that's what you need to do when you come to these team boy or these team dances, is that you need to do good choreography, and it needs to be entertaining, and it needs to showcase that you guys can work together and create fun dances.
And this one was sort of strategically or smartly unambitious, which I think is part of the reason really why their grades were so much less than the girls, because the girls just had so much more dancing in it. But this one was so smart and clever and fun. Yeah. And also, I could just watch rehearsal footage of this routine all day. So like, they were having so much fun. Whereas we went into the girls' room and it was just like the tension was outrageous.
Like, plus, I do feel like when you put Max and Val in a room together, like, they work really well together, but they are all business. Like, they
are. Well, and Val always sort of steps aside and lets Max take charge. Like, he has a real reverence for his big brother. And so it is great, but I do think we lose Val's voice a little bit. And Val being the strongest male pro, I don't think that's super valuable. So I think in team dances moving forward, the team with Val will actually do better than this team did, because his voice will be stronger without Max.
Yeah. I did like the moment, though, where, so we were talking about this earlier, but during their, they're all standing around and they're talking about how it has to be sexy, and someone leans over to Nancy and she's like whispering to Nancy, like, how do you deal with it? How to make the touching not so uncomfortable?
What do you do when he's on top of you? I think is what she said.
Yeah. And then she... And then she asks Normani later, and she's like asking Normani, like, how do you make all the touching so uncomfortable? And like Normani says, like, and she even tells us that it's all acting. And she like even says to the camera, that's right, it's all acting. And Val's like, no, it's just good to know. Good to know. I thought that was really fun.
That was fun. I also thought it was like this related back to something we were talking about. We've talked about it a couple times, specifically last week, this idea of Normani and Simone are the same age or close to the same age, but have such different life experience. This very specific moment where Simone asks Normani for advice was so interesting and really leaned into that difference.
Normani's like, it's just acting, Simone. Yeah. Just like, do it.
But you can't act in that way if you're not comfortable, like if you don't know, right?
So it's true.
Yeah. It was very interesting. And
I felt like it was slightly underwhelming, this dance, but I did not think it was as underwhelming as the judges said it was.
I agree.
And I do think that sort of warranted their, I mean, I'm glad that Nick gave them that bump in the scores that brought them to 34 out of 40, and as the boys got 33 out of 40. I'm glad that he did that because I felt like that was warranted.
Was it only one point difference? I thought it was a lot more. That's wrong. It should have been like three or four. It should have been like eights and nines.
So they all got, I think they all got, Nick was the only one that bumped them up to a nine.
Really? But then I thought the guys got some sevens, didn't they?
They did not.
Oh, wow. Okay. I totally misread that. I thought the girls did like 3 or 4 points better. They definitely should have done 3 or 4 points better.
Yeah, agreed. So I think that definitely warranted them doing better. But I do think that the judges were much harder on their, they were just very underwhelmed by it. But I think that's because they had like such a good laugh from the boys dance that they had trouble then like coming back down from that and accurately judging something that wasn't as funny. You know, it was just a good dance, you know?
Well, and that's such a like an endorphins thing, right? Like someone made them
like
happy.
You can't help it.
Yeah, it's very hard to be hard on someone who made you happy. It's a very interesting. Yeah. I always say when I'm reviewing stuff, I say I find it quite easy to give a bad review to someone or to give a good review to someone I don't like personally. Like if I interview them and they're a jerk, but then they do good work, no problem. I can write a great review, no problem. But someone who's a really wonderful human who I've met multiple times and I really like, and then they do bad work, I still do it. But it's very, very hard to give them a really harsh critique. It's a lot harder.
Yeah, so and I mean, that's just natural
The guys
humanity.
Just made them. Yeah, the guys just made them happy. And I think it really showed up in the scores. Whereas the women, that was so tense and weird.
So tense.
Although I got to say, what was happening with the tech here? Not only did the lighting mess up at the end, and then the lighting board goes down after the routine, but there was also like a shot where the boom mic was in the way. And, like, everything was going wrong.
Somebody got fired.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope not. Oh, my God. No.
And it was weird because the guys, like, they were totally fine. Yeah,
they had like the floodlights up at the end on Aaron and Tom, so it was bad. But at least they had the ability to do like the dramatic judging lighting.
Yeah, and luckily it was at the very, very end, and it didn't destroy the show. Mm-hmm.
So we unfortunately have to say goodbye to Heather, but you know, she took it really well, and I saw her this morning. I watched her clip on Good Morning America, and she actually had some sort of situation. I don't want to like speak out of turn, but I believe she had some sort of like break-in at her house.
That's really weird.
I don't remember, but she you know how they are supposed to travel to so it was PETA and Max. So you know how they're all supposed to travel to New York the following day? So Heather and Max were supposed to come to New York to be on Good Morning America. So Heather only appeared via video Skype, because PETA and Max had a break-in attempt on their home.
Really?
So they weren't able to come to Good Morning America the following morning. Isn't that crazy?
That is really crazy. I wonder if someone was really, was really that upset about the Frozen dance.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure this was just trying to break in.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was, I saw it on Entertainment Tonight, but she said it on Good Morning America. So that's crazy though. I mean, I feel like but when I saw her, she was very, very, very educated about reality television. She was like, I was expecting both outcomes and was sad to go, but also, you know, having been expecting both, you know, am grateful for the experience. So she was, you know, the picture of poise. So. Yeah, I'm
she seems to see pretty level-headed, and like she's not going to be too emotional about it.
But looking forward to next week, we have movie night, which is a little bit different than what they've done in the past. So I think what they've done in the past is more Hollywood. So this is actually movie night, which will be, I guess they're doing specific movies. Whereas in the past, I think they've done it's Hollywood, where it could be just more of like a theme.
I thought they were doing genres. Like someone's going to do horror, someone's going to do Western, someone's going to do whatever other genres there are.
Yeah, so it's a little different from what they've done in the past, but it's called movie night. So we're not quite sure what to expect, but I'm excited. I feel like this is always, it's either way, it's always the Hollywood movie night, whatever it is. It's always really fun because it's thematic, very similar to Disney night, where you can sort of bring out some fun, cool characters, sets, costumes. It's always really quirky and enjoyable to watch from an entertainment perspective, for sure.
And the pros usually have some fun. I don't remember movie nights very well, but I certainly a couple of the TV theme nights stand out in my memory. Yeah. And when they do like really elaborate sets and costumes and, and stuff, it'll be really fun.
Yeah, and I'm clearly expecting Normani to kill it and Rashad to kill it, so we shall see. Do you have any final takes on the episode, Kelly?
No, I just it's always interesting when a front runner goes home early. It has happened before. It is sad. I totally see how it happened. I think what happens with front runners is that people assume somebody else is going to vote for them, so they don't feel the need to save them the way that like we might call in and say want to save Nick but forget to vote for Rashad. And that happens, and so when a real front runner like that, especially someone who's had a hard time connecting with the audience and has a breakthrough relatively late in the season, if they have one bad dance where their judges' scores falter a little bit, that can catch up with them and they don't have the fan support built up from being underdogs. So it's understandable. It's too bad, but, this dance was so good, I was starting to worry that Normani wasn't going to win the season. So
I'm just sad because I would have liked to see her do some of the fun things like the freestyle and just even if she didn't win in the end, I just would really have liked to see her do some of the cool things that they get to do towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I honestly I would just like to see Heather Morris do a freestyle. That is like really the main thing we'll miss.
I would much rather see her do it than Bonner, but what are you going to do, Kelly?
Oh my
God. What are you going to do?
What if Bonner makes the finals? Now you've put that in my head. That's terribly upsetting.
Anyway.
Because Sharna always makes the finals. Oh, that's upsetting.
I don't know about that. We'll see. anyway.
Okay.
That's all for listeners. Where can our lovely listeners find you on the internet?
So you can read my work at myentertainmentworld.ca, always publishing new stuff there. And my Twitter is at myentworld. And someone tried to talk me into starting an Instagram this week, so maybe that'll be there next week.
But oh my God, do it.
Who knows? I will never Snapchat. That is that's where my line is.
I try. I have one, but I like deleted it from my phone. Like, it's not there.
Yeah, but my Twitter is my ent world, my ENT world. There you go.
Awesome. And you can find me at Ange Palagi, ANGPALAGGI. And we didn't have any questions this week. We neglected to post it, and I really apologize for that. That was my fault. So hate on me as you will. But we will definitely follow through next week with any questions you had from this week. Feel free to tweet them at us, or you can post them on the Rehab Facebook page. But otherwise, we will speak to all of you next week. I'm definitely really excited. And I will, you know, definitely reach out. Kelly, any other thoughts?
I don't think so. I'm sorry, Ange.
Night,
I feel
everybody.
Bad for you this week.
Bye. Oh, yeah. No, I'm devastated. But you know what? I have all of you. I'll think of this as therapy. and now I have to I have Normani, and she's got to be my number one gal, I think, moving forward.
Yeah. Believe in her. That's what we'll do.
I do. I believe in her. I do. All right, everyone. Talk to you next week.
Down to business.
Bye.
Bye.